Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. We appreciate so much you tuning in to the program today. It's good to have you listening. And as always, we count it a privilege and an honor to be able to study with you. And we want to encourage you right now to open your Bible to Luke chapter 11. We're going to begin reading today in Luke chapter 11, verse 29, and we're going to read down through verse 32. That is Luke 11, beginning in verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Now Jesus said in verse 29 that this was an evil generation. They were an evil generation of people because they were looking for a sign, the Bible says. Well, is there anything wrong with expecting proof from a man that claims to be from God? Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, that's right. We have the right, and as a matter of fact, we have the responsibility to expect and to look for evidence from a man that says that he's speaking on behalf of God. Jesus himself taught this in John chapter 10. In verse 37 and 38 of John 10, Jesus said, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." So Jesus said, look, if I don't perform the works of my Father, if I don't do the works that are fitting and that correspond to my Heavenly Father, in other words, if I'm not really performing these miracles, then don't believe me. But if I do, that is, if I do perform these miracles, if I do work the works of my Father in performing these signs, then believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father's in me and I in him. He says, even if you don't believe what I say, you ought to believe what I'm doing here. So Jesus didn't expect them to believe without evidence. And he certainly never expected anybody and does not expect anybody today to believe contrary to the evidence. The problem here, folks, is this. Jesus had already given them proof. Now, do you remember the story that we looked at just prior to this? In Luke chapter 11, he cast a demon out. And the Bible says that some of the people there, instead of believing that miracle, accused him of performing that work by the power of the devil. That's in Luke chapter 11, verse 15. And then right after that, in Luke 11, verse 16, the Bible says, "And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven." Well, Jesus had just done that. So what more did they need? You see, these are people who had more than enough proof right before them, and still they were asking for more proof. So there's no excuse for that. That's why Jesus said that they were an evil generation. No matter what he did, they were always asking for more when they, at the same time, had more than enough to begin with. There are people like this today, friends. For instance, there are skeptics, there are people that are unbelievers, that look at this vast and complex creation of ours, but they always demand more. They say that they won't believe in God unless they're able to see something more than the creation. Well, how could you have more powerful evidence than what we see every day? With the sun, the moon by night, the stars, this creation that we see around us with the trees and the birds and the animals and mankind, why would anybody ask for more? Well, it's because they're not being honest with the proof that God has already given them, isn't it? Years ago, there was a famous atheist by the name of Carl Sagan. And he said that if there really was a God, then why doesn't he give us stronger proof? Why doesn't he really show himself or give us some kind of sign that would be unmistakable proof that there is a God in heaven? He said if there really is a God in heaven, then why doesn't he write the Ten Commandments on the moon so that we can look up in the sky and see them? Or maybe put a giant cross in the sky and let it orbit around the earth? Well, folks, God does greater things than that every day. When you see a bird fly, when you see a squirrel playing in a tree, when you see a fish in the waters jump out of the water, when you see an insect flying around, when you see a newborn baby, when you see all of these and hundreds and thousands of other displays of God's power and His glory, we have more than enough to convince us, if we're honest, that there really is a God in heaven. So a man that says, well, I don't believe that this creation is enough, I want more, he's not being honest to begin with, and even if you showed him something else that he's asking for, he still wouldn't believe because he's not being honest. This also happens with the Bible. I've noticed sometimes that when you show people a Bible verse or two on a certain subject, that sometimes people will say, well, but it only says that one time. Or, but it only says that a few times, and so I'm going to have to see more than that before I'll believe that this is really in the Bible. Well, how many times does God have to say it before it's true? You see, a man that looks at one verse in the Bible, and it's very clear what the Bible says. And he says, well, I'm going to have more than that. I'm going to have other verses. I'm going to see more verses than what you're giving me. Well, where's that going to stop? Is it going to stop with two or three? Is he going to be satisfied if you give him a half a dozen or maybe 10 or 12? You see, the problem is not how many verses or how much evidence a man needs. The problem is, when a man is not being honest, then he's not going to accept the evidence, I don't care how much you give him. And this is what we're seeing here in Luke chapter 11. These people have seen more than enough proof to convince them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah. But because they're not honest, they're not going to accept the evidence no matter what Jesus does. So Jesus said that there's no sign going to be given but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now the word sign here is not just any miracle. It's not just any great act that Jesus does, like raising the dead, like casting out demons, or healing the sick. This is a special, unique sign. You see, those other miracles were somehow done through human agency. In other words, there was a human being that was there. It was either one of Jesus' disciples, or it was Jesus himself, or somebody else in the Old Testament or the New Testament. And God was using that human instrument to convey his power. So you have Jesus laying his hands on somebody and recovering the sick. Or you have him saying, come forth, Lazarus, from the tomb. You have a human being involved in it as an instrument or as an agent of God's power. But the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and that's the sign that he's talking about here, the sign of the prophet Jonah, was just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, Jesus was also in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and then he came forth, then he was resurrected from the dead. Now that was a special sign, because when Jesus was raised from the dead, he didn't have a prophet outside. He didn't have one of his apostles outside saying, Jesus, come forth. That was power directly and straight from heaven that raised him from the dead without any human agency whatsoever. And so it was a special sign in that way, and that's the only sign of its kind. Now, what Jesus did after this was to use two Old Testament examples to show how evil these Jews were. First of all, in verse 31, he talks about the Queen of Sheba. Now, what did she do? Well, in 1 Kings chapter 10, we read about how that she had heard of Solomon's great wisdom and Solomon's great wealth. So she traveled for many miles to come to Solomon to test him, and she went away saying that she had not heard half of his great wisdom and she had not heard half of the story about his great wealth. Now, what is Jesus' point here? Well, the Jews that saw Jesus' miracles and heard Jesus' teaching had a far greater opportunity than the Queen of the South. And what Jesus shows here is that the greater the opportunity, the greater the responsibility. And when we neglect a greater opportunity, the greater the guilt is going to be. Now, Jesus said in the day of judgment, this woman will condemn the Jews of Jesus' generation. Now, Jesus said in the day of judgment, this woman, the Queen of Sheba, will condemn the Jews of Jesus' generation. How? By saying something against them in the day of judgment? By her words? No, it's going to be by her example that she lived on the earth. It's going to be by her actions, because she traveled for miles to hear Solomon, and yet these Jews didn't travel to hear Jesus. Jesus came to them. She heard Solomon, but they had heard the Son of God. She saw the treasures of King Solomon, but they saw Jesus' miracles. And so these unbelieving Jews are held to a higher standard because they had a greater opportunity. The second example is the men of Nineveh. What was their opportunity? Their opportunity was the chance to be saved by hearing a man. And they took advantage of that opportunity. And yet Jesus was far greater than Jonah, and he says they won't listen to him. They've actually rejected him. And this is exactly why the Lord Jesus said that Sodom and Gomorrah would be better off in the day of judgment than the Jews of his generation that rejected him. Now, what does all this mean for you and I today? What does this mean for our time? Folks, all men are accountable to God today. Whether they recognize that or not, whether they believe that or not, all men are accountable to God Almighty and will answer to him in the day of judgment. But people with greater opportunities will be judged more severely, because the greater the opportunity, the greater the responsibility. Now, let me ask you a serious question here. What nation has been blessed with more Bibles and with more churches and with more opportunities to hear the gospel than any other nation today? It is our nation. So what will happen to those who have refused these great opportunities? They will be judged more severely and they will be punished more severely than people in other parts of the world. Though they are lost, they did not have the opportunities that we today in this country have. Let me close again with these words, folks, straight from the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful rest of the day.